Jump into Matthew 6, ask the Lord to speak, and we jump in here today. This is a topic that everybody's like, oh no, where are we going with this? Right, maybe? It's one that Jesus often talks about. He talks about wealth, talks about money. As a pastor, I always get a little uneasy, and I usually don't talk about this topic. I usually just wait until it comes up in the text, and that's what we do, expositional preaching. We preach through books of the Bible, and as it comes up in the text, we deal with it. But it's not like I have friends that preach on this at least once a year. Like first Sunday of the year, this is their theme. Whatever. The reason I don't do that is because of this. Anybody know what these guys have in common? Okay, let's be nice. They're Christian leaders, all right? I think they're all based in Texas. I'm not sure about that. Another thing they have in common is they're each of them is worth over $100 million. Right? So they when they start talking about money, it's like it's hard to listen, right? Because you wonder, okay, what's the motive here? And so I think what gets the pages, the front pages, would be stories of pastors or religious leaders who use texts like this improperly. And so I want to be careful about that. But I also believe that it's throughout the Bible, and Jesus would not want us to skip these passages. And he dealt with it, because it's where we live, right? This is where we live. All of us, unless you want to go without light, you have to pay the electric bill, you have to buy food, you have to wear some clothes. You have to take care of your daily needs. And so this is always on our mind. Every day, our living expenses are on our minds. And so Jesus is going to deal with this. And actually, it's the next big section of the Sermon on the Mount. So we've gone through each of these first few blessings of kingdom citizens, the Beatitudes, illustrations of kingdom citizens, the law of kingdom citizens. We spent some months on this. The no commands of the heart and the yes commands of the heart. Well, now this next big section talks about, what I'm going to say, the land of kingdom citizens, but the idea of property, of stuff, of dealing with where I live and paying the bills. And the first one is dealing with wealth, the first section. And the second section was dealing with worry. Today, our heart is involved. As we continue this little section about wealth, it talks about our eyes as an illustration, and then the wealth and our Lord in verse 24. You can't serve God and mammon. So Lord willing, next time we'll do number 2 and 3 here. But today, the wealth and our heart. And I would just say this. This is an essential topic. It's not just about money. This is a very important topic, and it's, as we'll see, it really gives us a secret for how we can live life successfully, how we can live life properly. It really gives us, it's the heart of the matter. And so there's some great advice here. Please don't tune out. Please follow this. Out of the heart is the issues of life. And there's few passages that really pinpoint how to change our heart, how to work on our heart. And so that's what this text does. Proverbs 4:23 says, out of the heart spring all the issues of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From your heart spring all the issues of life. Right, if there's a spring that's polluted, it's going to poison all the water down the stream. And you can take a drink down there, and you're going to get poisoned, as well as right up at the spring. And so this is the heart of man. Our heart is that way. Our heart is deceitful. Our heart is crooked. Our heart needs to change. And that changes everything about us. And so the Bible talks about all these different things we need to change, all these areas that we need to grow in. But if the heart doesn't change, none of those other things are going to change. So how do I change my heart? That's what this text gives us. You need this. All of us need to put this into play, and it will really help us in our spiritual lives in a dynamic way. I'm not overstating that. Few texts do I use more in Christian counseling than this one. So it's not just about money, as we'll see. All right, the first point gives us the what not to do. So a good savings plan, what not to do, and then what we should do. So the no and the yes. And then the reason for it is verse 21, and that really gets to the heart of the matter. Okay. So first of all, let's look at the negative. A common sense paradigm for saving treasure, the prohibition, don't store up on earth. Don't store up on earth. Now, Jesus talks a lot about money. I think it's interesting how these books, like Larry Burkett, he's a really well-known financial planner, and what's the other guy? There's many of them. Dave Ramsey. They'll talk a lot about Jesus talking a lot about money, but then as they start looking at it, they often go to the Proverbs to deal with some of the practical things, because what Jesus talks about money, Western society doesn't really like. It's not the way we would talk about money. But we need to listen carefully to what Jesus says about money and not sweep it under the rug. So let's look at the command here. The command is simple. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Literally, if you're taking notes, you could put this, you should not treasure to yourself treasures upon the earth. Treasure is mentioned twice. Don't treasure to yourself treasures upon the earth. You should not treasure to yourself treasures upon the earth. So a couple questions will help us walk through this. First of all, you should not treasure. Who's the you here? This is helpful. Believers, good. Is he talking to the wealthy? See, what we're tempted to do whenever we read a passage is to say, wow, that person really needs that. Oh boy, they should be listening to that instead of Tim needs that, right? Well, you might be saying Tim needs that. But I need that. And so we need to be careful not to say, well, this is just a passage for those who are wealthy. This is not a passage for those who are on a fixed income. This is not a passage for those who are who don't have any income. This is not a passage for this is for someone who has a big income. But that's not the case. Who is Jesus talking to? His disciples, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, right? And so This mountain is filling up, and this is not the wealthy. This is the hardworking farmer. This is the hardworking fisherman from the Sea of Galilee, and he's got this week maybe to take care of his family. This is who Jesus is talking about. So he's talking about you and me. If he was talking to the wealthy, we would say also he's talking about everyone in America. If you compare our poorest with many countries in the world, huge, huge, huge percentage of the world. And it's we're the wealthy of the world. We're the top percent. And yet, even those who have very little, this instruction is for them. This instruction is for believers in the centuries, that is the norm. Second question, what is treasure? Do not treasure unto yourself treasures upon the earth. I think this is significant. What is treasure? And this is why I say this is not just about money. This is where this gets to where everybody lives. Because he's not just talking about income, is he? He's talking about what? Treasure, value. Yeah, what you value. What you value may be completely different than what I value. Right, what do you live for? What's important to you? What is valuable to you? So he's not saying it's wrong to have wealth. He's talking about what we value in life. There's so many things, right? There's whole shows that are made out of taking someone's trash and making it someone's treasure. People make a living off of that. Take someone's trash and then sell it as treasure, and they're able to just take care of their needs. And so what's valuable to you is not always valuable to everybody, but all of us have things that we value. What do you treasure? Right? The Bible says your name is more valuable than precious silver. And so there's this reputation, this name that actually is more valuable to you than money. Children are very valuable. Your health is very valuable. Your job is valuable. Your time is valuable. All these things are part of our treasures. Where we live, our apartment, experiences are valuable to us. Fond experiences of the past, looking forward to experiences of the future, milestones of life, relationships, close relationships, friendships, goals, attainments, rewards, promotions. All these things have different values to all of us. And if we could, just for a moment, if you could just think of all these factors in your life, I know you can't name them all, right? Your phone's in there somewhere, your favorite shoes, your glasses, you need that. But you have all these different things, and then you have 3 daughters and 2 sons, right? You have all these different things and experiences. Where do you place them in order of value? And then if we could just take that whole list and look at it, and say, how much of this is earth? And that's our third question. Where can we store it? Your value system, what you give yourself to, can be totally the earth. No understanding at all about heaven. So it's not the stuff. You may be the wealthiest person in the world and be leveraging all of that wealth for the kingdom of God. And that's whom the Lord entrusts with these worldly funds. So where do you store it? Are you storing it in the earth or in heaven? That's what he's working on. That's where our heart is. And so everything can be an earthly concern that consumes us. Earthly titles, earthly possessions. You can be very wealthy and have no problem with this. You can be very poor and have a great problem with this. You can be a miser in a misery saying, I just have to bury everything in the dirt. Jesus talks about that. Even good things can be put into this category. Yes, money, but anything. When Lloyd-Jones preached on this, he applied it to pastors. And not pastors and money and income, but their church. Many a preacher has become guilty of laying up treasures on earth by being a pastor. He tends almost unconsciously to be controlled by the desire to have his people's good opinion and praise. And the moment that happens, a man is laying up treasures on earth. So this can be anything, really, that keeps us focused on earth. Do not store up for yourself. Or you should not treasure to yourself treasures upon earth. Well, why not? Jesus is going to tell us why not. Because moth and rust destroy that stuff, right? It's temporary. Moth and rust destroy. Thieves are going to break in and steal. Temporary. All that earthly stuff that you're living for, it's going to be gone in just a little bit. Don't be consumed. In a minute, he's going to talk about worrying. Don't worry about it. But now, he's just going to say, why is that your value system? All this stuff that's not going to be here in just a little bit. Moth destroys. So this is most likely talking about garments or clothing. Right? Isn't that frustrating? You always have to buy clothes. I mean, even if it's like once every few years, you're never going to be done. Moths come in there. Now, in that day, garments were much more valuable. You would have 1, maybe 2 changes of clothing, and you were wealthy, right? This was very difficult to have clothes. And so, right, you could see where he's put it. Like, it's not just money. He's saying, this is valuable. But you know what? Even those valuable garments, they're just going to be destroyed one day. I still have one of my dad's suit coats. But it's not going to last from when he was in college. It's not going to last. It might last a while because neither of us wore it. It's ugly. But it's just, it's everything is going to become dust. It's frustrating. Rust destroys, right? Your watch. This is not just talking about metal. This is talking about anything decaying, like a house or a garden being dilapidated and run down. Everything tends toward decay. And then also, even if it's something that's more lasting, like gold or silver or precious stones, right? Your diamonds. Look at what happens with those, right? What happens with those? Thieves are going to take it. How many of you have ever been robbed here living in New York City? See, look at that. That's not, well, the hands keep going up.
I thought we were doing better. anyway, thieves do that. Thieves break in and steal. Literally, they dig through and steal. So the idea would be you try to make it safe as you can. You put it in your house in the corner, but in that day, the houses were made of mud. The roofs were made of mud, and so people could dig through even their walls and take them. You can make it as safe as you can. It still can be stolen. Now that everything's electronic, it's just, I don't want to scare you, but that's just like very easy to steal. And so all of this stuff is not permanent. And so the idea is it's not having the stuff. It's just that shouldn't be what we treasure. All the stuff of this earth, if that's all you're living for, what a shallow way to live. It's all going to decay. I saw a great website that did this. They compared the seven wonders of the ancient world, the way they used to look, and the way they look now. It was really fascinating. This is Ephesus, the temple to Artemis, and you read the description of the day, it was spellbinding, amazing, like Manhattan, real estate, just towering, beautiful. This is it today, right? And this is just, this is the best of the best of this culture of today. You just fast forward a little bit, it's going to be like this. Your clothes will be eaten up. Jesus is just telling us, listen, this is why you don't live for this. It's just not lasting. You have a better reason to live. So let's wake up to this beautiful reason to live. That's what it's about. Maybe I could give this application and not feel like I'm going to offend anyone. But be careful with the applications, right? Some people, most folks in New York don't do this, but some people, they work, they are slave to their job all week. Just, they take the overtime, they take more, a second job just for the weekend to have a boat, to go out on their boat. And it's an extra $70,000, and it's upkeep, and you got to, especially here, you got to have a dock. And so it's like you're renting another parking space, and it's just for that little bit of fun. But that boat's going to, it's going to decay. Salt water is going to eat right through that. It's not lasting. Our delight, right, stepping out of our comfort zone in order to give ourselves to that is giving ourselves to a shadow. Good illustration of this in the Bible would be Esau, right? Here's Esau. He's really hungry. He goes out hunting. He comes back. Jacob's cooking some lentil stew, some red soup. I would be okay, right? Now, Krispy Kreme, that's another thing. But bean soup, he loved that. And he's like, I need it or I'm going to die. And Jacob says, well, sell me your birthright. This lasting, valuable, even that's just maybe a 50, 60 year thing, but still much more lasting than a bowl of beans. Right? Why would you sell your birthright for this bowl of beans, Esau? This is what we do when we exchange living for the eternal with living for just a few days of comfort. And so Esau regretted that in Hebrews 12. Esau sold his own birthright for a single meal. You know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. And so we cannot just value the things that are not permanent. Instead, the command is what? Store up in heaven. This is the positive. Here's a better place. Thieves are not going to break through, not going to rust, not going to have moths. It's going to be permanent. So here's your permanent
heavenly savings plan. This is where you retire forever in comfort. That's the permanent place. This is what we're living for here below. Heaven is mentioned over 80 times in the book of Matthew, more than any book of the New Testament. And if we could just take a minute, I would just look at the references in the Sermon on the Mount that he talks about how your living here below affects your heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, say false things against you evilly because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for why? Your reward in heaven is great. If you're persecuted on earth, if you live in such a kingdom-focused way that people oppress you and push you down, rejoice! There's reward that you are earning in heaven for what you're doing on earth. You let your light shine before men in such a way they glorify your Father who's in heaven. You're living in a way that gives glory to your Father in heaven. 5:16. 5:19. You can listen to what God teaches and teach others to do the same and do it yourself. And as you do that, you are called great in heaven. Right? These things that we do on earth affect how we live in heaven. Now, giving doesn't make us enter heaven, right? That's not what he's saying. Who gave in order for us to enter heaven? Jesus and him alone. Jesus gave everything so that we could enter heaven. But once we find his forgiveness, we have a whole different motive for living. We live for Jesus. And all of this stuff is just a brief walk in the park coming to heaven. And so we're not going to get all weighted down with all this stuff. The Puritans would talk about Hebrews often as living as a what? Another P word? Anyone want to? Pilgrim. Bingo. Living as a pilgrim. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, having welcomed them from a distance, confess they're strangers and exiles. They're not extremely comfortable down here. Right? If they had been thinking of the country from which they came out, they would have wanted to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's prepared for them a city. We're just going on a hike. Point A to point B. Hannah's trying to get me to go on this 20-mile hike of the three peaks of New York, the three highest peaks in New York State. I think Mike and Matthew Kim did this before he went to college. So I hope we can do this. As we do, I'm not going to bring a toaster because you hike with whatever you, it's like a 2-day, 3-day, you bring with you on your back what you're going to take. This guy here has a blog, and this was his first time doing something like this. You may not be able to see that, but this is like stacked way over his head. He's taking too much stuff. There's no way he's going to make it. I remember my brother doing this for the first time, and he brought an iron skillet. I won't say which brother, but he's a big guy, you know, so he could do it, but like, he was regretting that pretty quick. And a gallon of water. Right, there's, you look like this. And you're like, you know, if you're going 20 miles, you shouldn't be stopping and picking up the rocks. Oh, wow, look at this log. You set this up here. Oh, this is great. Let me take this too. And all of a sudden, you're hardly walking. You're hardly crawling. As God looks down at us as Christians, he sees that. Like, are you going to take that too? That's just gonna weigh you down. And you're not going to take it to heaven anyway. It's like we just need on our back what gets us through. Really what gets us through. And the rest is to promote the kingdom. To promote the name of Jesus. Other than that, it's the trail. It's keeping us from the trail, right? We're not making a little cabin on the trail. Nice window treatments in there. And right.
No, those who are pilgrims aren't worried about that. Now, it's good to have curtains. I'm not saying don't have curtains. But the point is, heavenly speaking, we don't need all that stuff as we move on from place point A to point B. I'm reminded of the good old gospel song. Maybe we should sing this. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Right? It's just like, yeah, I don't really fit in. I'm just kind of living for that. Right? Sam's there now. A lot of folks have gone on before, close family. And you go, just, I'm still here. I'm still hiking. But I'm a pilgrim. I'm ready to see them. I'm ready to see Jesus. And he still has a reason for me to be here, and I want to be faithful until he comes. That's what's going on. That's what Jesus is talking about. You're living for that. That's the heart of the matter. That's the central principle and his main point. What are you valuing? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is the dynamic principle. In summary, as you continue to lay up treasure in heaven, as you continue to do that, your heart will continue to love heaven. Our heart is so wicked. Our heart is so deceitful. Every day my heart wants to go back to this earth. I was born that way. I'm broken. I'm fallen. Every day I need my mind renewed to have new desires, new goals, heavenly aspirations, setting my affection on things above. And this is the secret to that. Every day I need to be recommitted to treasuring heavenly treasures. You think through all of those things that we listed earlier, put them up there. Which of these do you take to heaven with you? Right? Those are what I'm investing. You have reward in heaven for faithful living. Yes. Take that with you. You have a close fellowship with God that you take with you. You have people you introduce to Christ. Right? Your family and friends and neighbors that you brought to him. They're with you there. You're not going to bring the boat. Right? The boat's not going to be hauled by your hearse. I hope no one has a boat here today. Right? I'm not picking on you. I'm just using it as an illustration. You can have a boat to the glory of God, right? And use it for his kingdom. I have a pastor friend who has a boat. He loves it. It's a great way for him to rest on Saturday, or maybe Monday. Where's our heart? I wanted to take some time with this. I want to be done in just a few minutes. If you look at all the passages in the Bible about the heart, it's really instructive. And so let me just read a few of them, okay, to help us with this. Matthew 15, 18 to 20. That what proceeds out of your heart is what defiles you. Our hearts can be hardened, Mark 3, 5. Our hearts can be dull, Acts 28, 27. Our hearts can be darkened, Romans 1, 21. Our hearts can wander far away from God, Mark 7, 6. A stubborn and unrepentant heart stores up wrath to the day of wrath from God. I wouldn't be talking about Christians, but Romans 2, 5. Our hearts can be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, Luke 21. Be on your guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. We're going to talk about worry here in a week or so. The greatest commandment yet is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so I want my heart to be right with God. I want my heart to be loving God. I want my heart to be committed to heaven. So how do I do that? Practically speaking, we have to put this into practice. So let's just think. And in a minute, we're going to have quiet, and you can think, how can I do this? But I'm going to give you some suggestions, application. This is how we do this. I spend time on heavenly things. As you spend time on something, you love it more. And so this is one of your most valuable commodities in your life is time. It's not just money, it's time. How can I spend more time on God, on His people, on His kingdom, serving Him? Some folks restore cars. They spend a lot of time and energy, strength, money doing that. And then once that's done, they love that car. They love to just get in and hear it rumble down the street. Right? This is the idea. If you're spending time, if you're spending money, yeah, he does include that. We give to the Lord's work at church. We give to other people who need it. Right? This is included, but it's just one piece of the pie. One small piece of the big pie. What do you spend your strength on? God's kingdom, bringing others to Him, spending time knowing Him. As you start doing those three practical things, you'll start treasuring heaven more. Heaven will become more and more glorious to you. Earth will be, you're like, yeah, hey, whatever, the stock market crashed. And you will, it didn't, but it will affect you because you'll think about the need for others, but your treasure's not in the stock market. You're not living for that. It could crash, and you'd be like, boy, I feel bad for those whose heart was there. We brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we should be content. I like John Piper on this. I'll end here. I end with him because of the way we began with those three other guys. I like John Piper's writings. I like hearing him preach. But he, at the very beginning of his ministry, decided to never get rich. He's worth $20 million, but he's given all of it. All of the proceeds of his writing go to his foundation that doesn't pay him. His church is the only thing that paid him. And they didn't pay him a huge salary. We're not talking millions. I like that. And with all of that money, the board that takes care of that thought of kingdom purposes to invest in. I don't think I would enjoy his writing. I don't think he would write the way he does if he didn't live that way since the 80s. So what should we take to heaven? Let's think carefully about that. I'll end with this poem by Mack Lynch, and then we'll have a time of quiet before we close in prayer. Make me a stranger on earth, dear Savior. Make me a stranger more like Thee. Help me keep my focus on heavenly treasures and not on earthly, may it be. Lord, lead me onward as a pilgrim, bound for heaven, never to roam. Make me a stranger on earth, dear Savior, till I see my heavenly home. We often are living in this second verse. Lord, I found myself loving earthly treasures, simple pleasures taking your place. Nothing can measure to heavenly treasures, hearing well done and seeing your face. Lord, lead me onward as a pilgrim, bound for heaven, never to roam. Make me a stranger on earth, dear Savior, till I see your heavenly home. Let's pray. This time of quiet, I know this is a sermon that Jesus preached, and it hits all of our hearts. Okay, all of us should feel like we need to respond in faith and repentance. But I think it gives us a lot of hope because it gives the solution. The solution is not a Pharisaical, the preacher getting up and screaming at you every week. The solution is the heart that loves Jesus more than stuff. And he's showing us how to do it. By treasuring, by placing what you spend time, money, and effort on to be the things of the kingdom. And let's just think practically this week, how can I put the meter a little bit closer that way? Okay, so in closing, talk to the Lord about that. Repent of things that the Lord showed you. But let's all do business with Him and by God's grace be committed to at least spending more time with Him today. More time with him this week, as you have this last hour and a half, by God's grace. Let's pray. In a moment, Pastor Andrew will be closing us in prayer. If you'd like to pray with someone, I'll be standing in the back lobby and be happy to pray with you.